I said the other week that Erica Ensign was our first panelist to ever be on from Canada, but that's not true because Guy was on an episode.
You totally lied.
So Guy,
well, we'll
Guy
have to
is
go
our,
back in time and kill you.
He's the first. Sorry. Guy is Captain Canada, the first Canadian.
Captain Canuck.
Yep.
The lower Canadian. She might have been an upper Canadian.
Honorary founding member.
This is our two Canadian podcasts where we talk about Captain America, too. I find that funny. Anyway, I cried when Guardian died. That's all I'm saying. Spoilers for Alpha Flight. Sorry.
Way to pick the scab, Jason.
Damn. Wow. Alpha Flight number 12. Oh, John Byrne.
Honestly, I'm happiest that they tied this in exactly to how it should in incomparable continuity. with the War Games reference, because frankly, I think the show is finally getting the recognition it deserves.
I held our War Games episode, for a month just so we could time it with the War Games reference, and hey, Scarlett Johansson seen War Games too in that scene. It's that I think. What's more surprising, that Steve Rogers has seen War Games, or that the Black Widow has seen War Games?
You get the feeling she doesn't get a lot of time for
it
movies.
Was Soviet training. No. She had to.
I'm so sorry to jump in about Black Widow, but. Did anybody else do the math that the age she would have been like a 7-year-old KGB agent?
Yeah, I read some retcon somewhere online about that, but I kind
of
like.
She's got a version of the super soldier serum, and it slows her aging process. That's
I think they just decided that if they call the FSB, nobody knows what
that
is.
They said in Avengers she started as a kid.
They do mention.
We also, we don't know when the USSR falls.
Maybe they'll do a child soldier thing or something. Who knows?
The KGB was fine until last year in the Marvel
Universe. Child soldier during winter, because that's
the
where
winter
the best
child soldier.
Soldiers come. So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., one of the funny things. So it got better around like episode 9 or episode 10, and I wouldn't say it's fantastic, but it's gotten better. When we did our podcast about the fall season, the title of it was Another Kind of Sleeper Agent, because we were joking that they were really boring. That joke is in the most recent episode. They make that joke. They actually say it's the other kind of sleeper.
They're listening to our podcast, Jason.
So I'd like to apologize to the producers of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and thank them for using our joke. So there you go. There's a little.
So we made Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. better you're saying.
I'm saying that we are entirely responsible for it getting better. Sure.
Made Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. better. They took script notes for Captain America 2. I mean, in what way is The Incomparable not improving the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Yeah, unfortunately, half of us are Hydra agents, and we're going to overthrow this podcast in a minute.
No Hydra. Yeah.
He's not just going to pick, like, some random GI and be like, you.
Private whatever.
You and me, let's go. Help me take down these helicarriers. You ever taken on a helicarrier, son?
Lieutenant Adequate, come now.
But I, all I did was work in the motor pool, sir.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's too bad. Well, at least have motors. They're Stark repulsor ray motors, but they're motors. It's like parking a Jeep. Come on, kid. That's how the kid from the motor pool was killed by Captain America. That's a really sad part of the movie.
Well, now, based on a couple of things that have been said now, technically speaking, is The Winter Soldier really a movie about Black Widow and Nick Fury trying to set Steve Rogers up on a date?
With the Winter Soldier?
No, with Sharon Carter, because Fury's the one who stuck her in that apartment.
Yep.
Black Widow's like, pushing him toward, getting himself.
He has
right
a type.
Everything.
It's a rom-com.
This is all just an excuse to get Steve Rogers late.
Can somebody who's more fluent in comics tell me what the S.H.I.E.L.D. policy is on inter-office romance?
S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore, Sony. It doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, what the Hydra
policy is entirely in favor of it.
Well, he was together with Sharon Carter for a long time in the comics.
Right. I mean, that
leads into the Death of Captain America story.
Yeah, that's why
it's
a nice
Hydra policy is out of the shadows into the light. So, I mean.
Yeah. Hydra policy is that if you're going to have an interoffice romance, you have to just do it in front of your coworkers. That's
it's like an Eyes Wide Shut orgy.
Yeah.
Anytime there's an inter-office
and everybody else just stands around and says, "Hail Hydra! Hail Hydra!" just over and over again.
Well, the Hydra guys in the first Captain America movie definitely had that S&M vibe with their uniforms, right?
That's true.
It's like, we're not really into breathing.
Yeah, Hugo Weaving,
peripheral vision is not,
they clearly redesigned all those uniforms. They're like, S.H.I.E.L.D. had some good ideas. There were a couple good ideas.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to go with the old Hydra. They got some good new Hydra stuff now.
Can I ask a question about Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver? So, are they what's going to happen when we had different movies with different people playing them? Do we know? Is there a game of chicken?
I can break this down really
simply.
All right,
talk to me like I'm five.
No, I'm not going to do that because you're a grown man, goddamn.
All right.
There's something for Jason to edit out.
Oh, good.
So Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are both in Days of Future Past and Avengers 2 in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like the not X-Men, not Fox Studios, not Sony stuff. They cannot refer to Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver as mutants. Being mutants.
Right. Yeah.
Or the children of Magneto.
Right.
They can't acknowledge the existence of Magneto, even.
Okay.
And
yeah, they can acknowledge the existence
of
Magneto.
Yeah. In Days of Future Past, Scarlet Witch is a toddler, and Quicksilver looks like one of the Burger King Kids Club mascots. And sure enough, they've got a commercial. They introduced
I saw
the
that commercial. That was the weirdest thing ever.
Burger King commercial.
Super weird. Huh.
Someone asked
at the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel at the Paley Center about mutants, and I think it was Jeff Loeb who's like, well, there have been no mutants discovered in this universe as far as we know.
Well, we don't have any proof that mutants exist. And a line of dialogue that Von Strucker has is, you know, this is the age of miracles. And this is not even his voice. This is the age of miracles.
Yeah.
So maybe they're going to refer to them as miracles or Inhumans, which Marvel Studios does have rights to. Or
it looked like they were Tesseract because they had this Loki scepter at the end.
Right. So the suggestion is that they've been created in some way rather than born as mutants.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so that then they get to be shared by the two franchises and be different.
So my question, I guess, is is there any kind of reconciling? I understand the legal
mechanisms.
Fox,
they're not related.
Unless Fox is contractually obligated to give all this stuff up, they are not going to give up the X-Men, Mutants, Fantastic Four, Silver Surfer. Sony, though, there are rumblings of Sony playing nice with Spider-Man somehow.
Okay. Yeah, well, that was the story for Avengers. They were talking about putting the Oscorp Tower in Avengers, and they ran out of time to do the rendering. I guess they got the files too late. But I think Sony is interested in. They look at that $1 billion that Avengers made and say, "Hey, playing nice with Spider-Man might be good."
They've been losing a lot of money on things like Men in Black 3, RIPD, other really expensive things that are basically Men in Black in a slightly different genre. And they're just eager to get money wherever they can find it. Jason, when are we going to do the all Stan Lee cameo episode of The Incomparable?
Is Stan Lee in it?
You know,
No.
When you're,
he has a cameo.
We couldn't get him.
So even as a comic book reader, when Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was on when I was a kid, and it was narrated by Stan Lee, and it would come
up. Hello, this is Stan
Lee. Hello, kids. This is Stan Lee. Spider-Man has an exciting adventure for you. And even though I read comic books, I would be like, who's Stan Lee? Why do we need to know who this guy named Stan Lee is?
Hi, I'm Stan Lee. I was just cleaning up back here in the back. There's a microphone.
I work with Willie Lumpkin at the post office. Hail Hydra and wear a heavy sweater.
Kill the town of Thunder Bay, Ontario. He feels horrible about it. Took out 4 Tim Hortons. It was a disaster.
Oh my God. That is beyond the pale in Canada to destroy a Tim Hortons.
Almost as bad as burning down the White House.
We'll let Dalrymple hear that you did that. He'll thunder down from Beard Guard with his with his stone guitar and call down the thunder.
That was always our thing. We would do every phone call we had with Jim when he worked at Macworld.
He's going
meeting,
through a drive-thru.
He was always going through the drive-thru at Tim Hortons. Didn't matter what time of day it was.
He would call me at the most random times and then he'd have to stop so he could give his order.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing
That
ever.
Was like his check-in time. It's like he wouldn't call us except when he was going to Tim Hortons. And so, he was in
He would call me to chat.
It was his Hydra check-in point.
Well, you'd go to Tim Hortons again, and he'd be like, well, it's mid-afternoon, so I'm going back there. And it was like literally, I think he goes to Tim Hortons like 4 times a day.
It was a lot. Yeah.
Were you working with somebody who basically submitted things via dead drop? Is that?
I mean, we're just lucky that he wasn't going through the Heineken drive-thru.
Yeah. Oh, mate, can you imagine?
I mean, I just assume that it is there somewhere.
And well, Halifax, and I leave the bulk of my estate to the people of Calgary so they can move somewhere decent.